We have two scriptures for today. The first comes from Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. What then? Are we better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged it all. Both Jew and Gentiles are under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together we have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one. And then from John 1, chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, most gracious and loving Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have brought us to this place. Father, we come with many things upon our hearts. We pray that we might clear a space so that we might be attentive to your word. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Before I start, I know Tim put in this week's question. Who put in maturing in faith that we talked about last week? Cool. All right. It's Michelle, right? Lauren. I will get it. I will get it. I will get it. I promise. So anyhow, again, this is why I love doing this. Because we get good questions. And the question this week was, why does God love us? I expanded that question out a little bit more to, who am I? Now, in doing some research for the sermon this week, I came across an article, and the author started out by saying that he has a non-Christian friend that he shares the gospel with, and they talk and they have discussion. And this female friend of his has a pretty good knowledge of what the Bible says about different things. But she has chosen to reject it all. And one day, she said, you know why I don't believe in your God? Because why would the God of the universe die for us? We are ants. We wouldn't die for an ant, so why would God? Valid question. Valid question. This lady understood just how undesirable we are of God's attention. Because let's face it, okay, we are not born into the state of being an ant. We are born into a state of open rebellion against God. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, the heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. My friends, we are in deep, deep trouble. If God is going to judge us like that. Again, going back to Romans, as it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together, They have become worthless. There is no one who seeks kindness, not even one. Let's face it, my friends. We're horrible people. We don't deserve God's love, nor really should we expect to receive it. And there are many people alone, depressed, broken down by society, shattered by their state of being, and they say to themselves a very similar sounding statement. Surely God must hate me. Does God really hate us? Well, he's got every reason to. I mean, we rebel against him. We don't follow his laws. We don't follow his teachings. We treat people like strangers and foes and people to be shunned and not like brothers and sisters as Jesus has commanded us. We lie, we cheat, we do whatever we can to better our own positions and to better the position of our families, whether that is in our neighborhood, our community, in our church, better ourselves in whatever our chosen profession might be. We are without a doubt rogues, rascals, villains, thieves, scoundrels, and mean, dirty, stinking, sniveling, sneaking, pocket-picking, no good sons of a gun. Surely God would not waste his time, let alone his love upon us. Probably answer the question, why does God love us? We must ask a question. What is the nature of God? What is the overwhelming characteristic of God? What best defines, or what defines who God is? And the answer to that is God is love. 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:15-16. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Why would God love a scoundrel like Timothy William Moore? Because that is God's very nature, is love. Any attribute that you can describe God with, God is 100% that. So if we say God is love, God is not 10% a jealous God, 20% a merciful God, and the remaining 70%, well, that's the loving God. He's 100% love. He is 100% merciful. He is 100% gracious. One being 100% love means his very being is love. If you look at every interaction and everything that God does in the Bible, it comes from love. Those of us that are parents know that our kids sometimes need a course correction in life. We know that they need to be disciplined. And let's face it, sometimes they just need a good smack on the rear end. Do we do that because we hate them? No. We do it because we love them and we want them to be the very, very best that they possibly can be. It's the same way with God. And God chooses to demonstrate this love by lavishing it upon us, his undeserving children who actively take and rebel against him every single day. He lavishes love on us. Our love cup from God overflows, because that is the very nature of God. Now, let's define this love. This is not a romantic love in any sense of the word. This is agape love. This is the highest form of love. This is self-sacrificing love. It's a love, at least for me, is similar to the love that I have for my son. I don't love him romantically. I don't love him like a brother, although sometimes I treat him like a brother. I have self-sacrificing love for my son because I want the best for him. It's the same way with God, my friends. It is the same way. This love is not based upon emotions. It is not based upon feelings or a moving soundtrack from a movie. But by choosing what is best for another person every single day. God demonstrated this love in one of the most ultimate ways. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our rebellion. And by choosing to draw near to us dirty, rotten scoundrels, he wants to be near to us. He also demonstrates this because he sends the Holy Spirit to whisper in our ears, nay, sometimes yelling in our ears, to provide us guidance, to give us comfort, and to show us what God would have us do for his will. God loves us, not as a group. God loves us individually. He loves every single person in here exactly as you are, with all of the rebellious things that we do, the way that sometimes we think living our life is the best. He loves us works and all. This is an unconditional love. Thank God, praise the Lord. Well, okay, there's only one little condition, and that's you accept Jesus. But other than that, well, let me retract that. God loves us even if they have not accepted Jesus. Okay, I misspoke there. God's love is unconditional. He gives it lavishly because he wants the best for everyone. Every single love. It's not conditional. God's love does not have a beginning, nor does it have an end. He loves us for eternity. He loved us even before we were born. And he is going to continue to love us when our time here on earth is done. And as a matter of fact, he loves us so much that after we pass on from here, that he is going to entrust us, I believe this, with taking care of part of his kingdom. And his kingdom is not just here on earth. It's everywhere. It's across the vast, vast universe. The other thing is, you can't mess up so badly that God is going to stop loving you. And you can't mess your life up so badly that he is not going to take you back. Think about the prodigal son. Okay? A little bit impractical, but it's a good parable. Here's a son who asks his father, who was pretty well off, if you kind of read everything. And he says, "Dad, give me my half now." And what's he do with it? He runs off, spends it on a good time, spends it on wine and food and whores. That's pretty messed up, if you ask me. And he finally realizes just how messed up his life is. And he says, "I shall return to my father and I shall be his slave." And what's the father do? He welcomes him back with open arms, puts him in a fancy robe, puts a ring on his finger, and has a party. That is how God loves us. Even when we really mess up our lives, God welcomes us back. Because he always wants what is best. Now, this woman that I talked about at the beginning, she didn't understand God's love. All that she saw was this gap between God and us. How can this God of the universe love a little ant, insignificant in the grand scheme of things? There's this gap. But she doesn't realize that this gap, which does exist between God and ourselves, has been bridged. The gap doesn't matter anymore because God bridged the gap and bridged it by sending Jesus again to pay the price for our rebellious ways. Fortunately, God is love. And because he is love, he loves us individually, unconditionally, and never ending. Amen.